Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, over the last few weeks we've been in our community here unfolding a picture of the vision that we believe that God has for this community. So for those of you who are visitors here, I hope and pray that that this will still connect. In fact, I believe that the things that we have been looking at are core to our lives as Christians. So very briefly, the vision that is developing is that LSF exists to equip people to love one another, which is what we'll be looking at more deeply tonight, so to build caring communities, to serve the world in mission by connecting God's heart of love with a world that needs it, and to follow Jesus in discipleship and to grow in faith. In, around, and beyond the tertiary context in Victoria. We'll get to that next week. But for tonight, I want to focus in on the L part of LSF. LSF exists to equip people to love one another. And to help us get into this, I'd like to play you a YouTube clip. Actually, just to introduce this, I should give it a bit of context. This clip is from a movie called Pay It Forward. Some of you may have seen that one. I see Joel and Esther kind of smirking over there. In the movie Pay It Forward, Trevor is a young boy around about year 7 or 8 who is challenged by his teacher to engage in a project, and the project for the whole year is to do something that will change the world. And this is Trevor's response.
And I'm going to help them. But it has to be something really big.
I'll just go back.
And that's 3 people. And I'm going to help them. But it has to be something really big. Something
they can't do by themselves. So I do it for them. And they do it for 3 other people. That's 9. And I do 3 more.
That's 27, so I'm not really good at math, but it gets big
really
fast, you know? Please.
Yes.
I think it's a good idea.
Sean?
It's stupid.
Adam?
It's the honor system. People blow off the honor system.
So what?
Just because you do.
Well, Trevor, the class seems to think that you've come up with an overly utopian idea. Look that word up in a minute.
Like, the perfect world?
Mm-hmm. So, what put this idea in your head?
Because
everything sucks.
He talked to you about this?
We've had our discussions. Yeah.
After the release of the movie Pay It Forward and the book on which it was based, a movement has actually sprung up around the world. It's called the Pay It Forward movement. And people who are engaged in that movement have made a commitment to do something really big for someone else and to ask them not to pay it back, but rather to pay it forward, to do something really big for another person. And so the chain goes on. This idea is brilliant. But it's also not new. And in fact, it's found throughout the pages of the New Testament, and particularly in Romans chapter 13, which is the passage that we're looking at tonight. From Romans chapter 13, verse 8, St. Paul writes, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law." What is this debt that Paul is talking about here? What is it that we owe? How come we have a debt? Well, the answer to that is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, where John writes this. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to die as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Jesus has given to us a gift, to each of us, that is greater than anything that Trevor could have done for the three people that started the Pay It Forward movement. Jesus has given his own life for us, for you and for me, as an atoning sacrifice so that we might be reconciled with God, turned from his enemies to his friends, that we might be forgiven, that we might be drawn into the relationship with God that he always intended us to have, and so that we might know the depth of God's love for us. In fact, in Romans 13, St. Paul writes that whoever loves his neighbor as himself has fulfilled the law. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. Jesus has fulfilled the law for us. We don't have to worry anymore about pleasing God. We don't have to worry about doing stuff to make God happy with us, because for Jesus' sake, God is already pleased with us. And in fact, God, we owe to God a debt that we can never repay. And yet God doesn't want it to pay it forward, to pay it back. God wants us to pay it forward. In fact, God does not need our acts of love. He's God. He's quite self-sufficient without anything that we can do for him. But our neighbor does. The concrete person who is in front of us at any given moment is the one who needs our act of love. Let's just go back to that word debt for a minute, and I'd like to tell you a story. It appears that there were two Scottish men who were friends who lived in a small town in Scotland, and one day they happened to be lining up in the bank one after the other. They were about to come up to the teller and do their transactions when suddenly into the bank burst an armed robber with a mask over his face and brandishing a pistol. And he said, "This is a hold-up. Everyone is going to give me your wallets and you're going to give me all your money." And one of the Scottish men calmly took out his wallet, opened it up and took out some money and handed it to his friend and said, "Jock, here's the £50 that I've been owing you." But such self-interested payment of a debt is not what God has in mind for us. Again, God doesn't want us to do things that have no cost, but rather to love one another. And our English word love has so many meanings that it really doesn't mean anything anymore. It's so broad, and usually in our culture, our word love has those overtones of emotion, of really wanting to be around a person, of really enjoying their presence and kind of feeling good whenever they're around. But the word that Paul uses here, and the word often used for love in the New Testament, is actually the Greek word agape. Now, the Greeks have four words for love. Agape means, sorry about that, the decision and action to ensure that the best happens for the other, no matter what the cost. It's not an emotion. And so when Paul and Jesus and the other New Testament authors speak of loving one another, feelings really have nothing to do with it. And that's why Jesus can say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Because this kind of love, this agape, is a decision and a set of actions. And you are able to decide to do what is best for someone else, whether you particularly like that person or not, whether you get warm, fuzzy feelings or cold, prickly ones when they are around. And again, this is the kind of love with which Jesus has loved us. He decided and he acted in a way to ensure that the best happened for us, no matter what the cost. Love one another is the heart of the Christian response to what God has done for us through Jesus. It's the way that we express and pay forward what God has done for us. And in fact, it's so central that Jesus even says that the way that we evidence this love towards one another, this agape kind of love, is the way that people will know that we are his followers. In John chapter 13, verse 34 to 35, Jesus says, "A new command I give you, that you must love one another. By this, all people will know you are my disciples, if you love one another." Why is that the case? Because if we are people who are following Jesus, the way that others will know that is by our reflection of the agape love that Jesus showed for us. It's by the fact that we will show the same kind of quality of self-giving, expensive, costly love as Jesus showed to us. And in fact, in the early church, even the enemies of the church, the people who were trying to persecute the young Christians, said, "See how they love one another." And I believe that this was one of the most important elements in the rapid expansion of the church in the first few centuries, was this character of genuine agape love that people shared with one another. I look around and I see a lot of serious faces. So I want to reassure you with something and to tell you some good news. The call to love one another is not a call to an onerous and difficult task. It's not a call to disappointment and unhappiness. In fact, when Jesus calls us to love one another, it's a call into joyful freedom. Let me tell you why that's the case by reading some more verses from Romans chapter 13. Paul writes from verse 11, "And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of a sinful nature." To love one another is to put on Christ. To love one another is to walk from darkness into light. To love one another is to share in the joyful kind of life which Jesus gives to his followers and which he evidenced throughout his life. To love one another is in fact a call to be truly human, to be the selves that we were created to be by God and redeemed to be by God. This quote is just part of a quote from a book by Dallas Willard called The Great Omission, and I'll read the context of that for you. Dallas Willard writes, "The correct perspective is to see following Christ not only as the necessity it is, but as the fulfillment of the highest human possibilities and as life on the highest plane. It is to see, in Helmut Thielicke's words, that the Christian stands not under the dictatorship of a legalistic "you ought," but in the magnetic field of Christian freedom under the empowering of "you may." You may love your neighbor as yourself. Freed from the need to please God and to pay him back, you may pay it forward and see the kind of joy that spreads and multiplies among the people that you interact with. You may love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. This is an essential aspect of any Christian community. Can it be that God is calling us as a community to evidence this same kind of love that Jesus has shown for us? I would say the answer is yes. And that means that we get to be the knights in shining armor for those who are in need around us. Paul says it here. He says, "Put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light." You may be the person who is the knight in shining armor for someone who is in need. You may be the person who pays it forward so that someone else is also able to understand the love that Jesus has given to us. Clothe yourselves, therefore, with the Lord Jesus Christ as you love one another. Amen.